Good morning. Evelyn, I appreciated your the little finger play that you did there. You know there's a trustees version, don't you? Here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door and see all the people who didn't show up for work day? Is that something like that? Anyway. Larry's going, yeah, I know that one, right? We are Sean and Katrina McConaughey, and North Valley's been our church home since about 1988, or about 35 years for those of you who are trying to do the math. And we continue to return here after ministry opportunities in other states, and now after our most recent ministry work serving in Kenya with Friends United Meeting these past 4 years. And in about 2 weeks, we head out to Indiana for another assignment of unknown length. And we continue to be so grateful for this body of friends who have really loved us and supported us and allowed us to be part of the community all this time. It's nice to look around and see all these familiar foreheads and have you be here. Can say thank you.
Sean's the color, and I'm the, I don't know what.
The serious one.
The serious
That's
one.
Right. That's right.
Nate told us we had 15 or 20 minutes to share this morning, and I was like, well, so much for sharing about the ministry of presence. I think we're just going to have to spend the whole time thanking people. And maybe that's part of the ministry of presence. We really could spend that whole time, and we often, well, that whole time thanking you all for being our church and our people. And we often recount to each other our gratitude for North Valley, and we're thankful for a chance to get to recount that to you too. It was a scary thing and a vulnerable thing for us to venture out and raise support for a ministry. Having been in ministry our whole adult lives, we're pretty aware that we've always lived on the generous support of the congregation and the people that we were serving. But it was a different experience to personally raise that support in pledges and gifts for 3 years, and it looked like an astronomically huge number, and it felt kind of insurmountable, but it was an overwhelming blessing that continued to be a gift in so many ways, we're pretty sure fully 50% of our support came from folks in North Valley. And that's a significant investment, people. And even if you might not see that, if you look at the church's budget, you might not see all of that, because it was a lot of gifts from a lot of people, a lot of very faithful gifts. And it hasn't been just money either. I think the money is really, I mean, like, you could say this is a congregation that puts its money where its mouth is, but in so many other tangible ways too, just really a steady stream over the years of emails and text messages, people, sometimes even just the shortest mundane things, somebody telling us about their cat or whatever, I don't know, and people's reminders that they're praying for us. And that has been more important than we imagined. And we will always feel grateful for that. In addition, this congregation has, when we've come home, given us gift cards for groceries, loaned us cars to use and get around places. Now, while a lot of this is among family, we've been counting up and trying to find our earthly possessions that remain, which are, and we have a list going, like a, it's like a spreadsheet or something. We have things in approximately 6 places in Newburgh. And we're, you know, and some of that has been maybe an inconvenience for other people at times, seeing, yeah, whatever, you know. But we're grateful for all of those things, that there's both really tangible and also, you know, kind of the intangibles as well. One person in this congregation told me almost shyly, back when we started raising our support, I signed up to support you. And I also want to just tell you, which I think was a vulnerable thing, I feel like part of my support for you is that I'm promising to stay in touch with you. And I'm not very good at that, but this is what I feel like I'm supposed to do. And almost every day for the last 4 years, that person has sent me a short message and checked in and said, how are you doing? And we've gone back and forth, and we were really just kind of developing a friendship at that time. And yeah, anyway, that's been a lifeline of support. And if you ever feel that urge or that nudge that God's wants you to do something like that, and you think, oh, that's not very important or whatever, it is. Follow through. Another thing that maybe not all of you know, if you don't pay attention to the church budget, but is that you all budgeted some support money for us since our general support was raised. Some folks from church asked if there was another way they could support us. And I said, I don't mind having a small salary myself, and I know our needs are being taken care of, but it kind of stresses me out that I might not be able to afford to have our kids come and visit us. And so they said, all right, I think we could fix that. And there's been a little line item in North Valley's budget for the last 4 years that has saved money to help our kids come and visit us. And it was such a gift, such a tangible gift. And also, Leslie, the church supported her to come and visit us, and that pastoral care and the time, those things I think we will never forget, and they will always be meaningful. When Greg and Beth and Leslie came at the end of November and we were just processing and reflecting, we didn't really do a lot. We didn't have time and to find ways to entertain them. So they just followed us around. they just followed us around. And I would, you know, feel kind of self-conscious, like, ah, we should have planned a nicer itinerary for them or something. But towards the end of their visit, I said, just thank you for following us around and for listening and watching and participating in a snapshot of our lives for a little bit of time. And I said, and I know it was a sacrifice for you of time and money, and we appreciate it. And Greg's comment was, it wasn't a sacrifice, it was sacramental. And maybe those words are connected, share some meaning, but those things, having someone come and bear witness to our lives, people from church and from our family, and it will make a difference for the rest of our lives as we process our own experience, that some people from home got to share a little bit of that as well. When we told some of our other missionary friends in Kisumu about our church, sending our pastor and our kids, they're like, wow, that's a sending church. And I don't think among a fairly broad group of people, none of them had a similar experience. So we brag on you guys a little bit. But anyway, we really sincerely hope that each of you and the church together will discern ways to continue to faithfully and joyfully support members of our congregation and also ministries outside of North Valley that are promoting both justice and mercy. We've shared a couple of suggestions with Leslie and in our newsletter of some ideas that are meaningful to us. But mostly we hope that there will be some discernment and that you'll continue to actively support ministry outside of ourselves.
So we wanted to take a few minutes to thank you and to share a couple of things that we're learning from our experience in Kenya. And I say learning, even though we're not now living there, we continue to process and think about these things. And there are so many good things that we could talk about, and we're going to try not to do that this morning. And then there's the rest that is for our therapist. The passage listed in your bulletin this morning is from the second chapter of Philippians, and it's fairly familiar to some of us, I'm sure. And the first 11 verses of this chapter are just full of really good reminders of the nature of God and our own calling in light of that, and just the incarnation that we heard about this morning. But I'd like to read just Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited or grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And this passage and quite a few others remind us that God simply wants to be with us, which is in itself kind of stunning. But it's evident throughout the written story of God that and God's people that God has this enduring and fierce love for creation, which includes you and me. It includes Russians. It includes Vladimir Putin. Doggone it. And that's really good news, that this dogged, transforming love continues to be lived out through one another. And while the church so often does not live up to God's hope for her, at its best and even at its mediocre, honest attempts, I continue to believe that the church can reflect and embody this deep love that God has for creation. And one of the primary ways that this passage notes God's deep love is by reminding us that God shows up to be with us, being born in human likeness, being found in human form, this great incarnation. Now, the United States is recognized on scales that measure such things to be the most individualistic country in the world. This does not surprise us. On the whole, the U.S. values individualism more than any other country in the world. We value going it alone, being rugged bootstrap sort of people. And individualism has had its impact on the church in the U.S. When the church goes to other cultures, it's often been seen as arrogant. And while not perfect, I think that current mission efforts now are way better, or are getting better than they once were in the days when we were pretty sure God showed up on the scene when the missionaries did. But what's really hard for us to understand as Americans is this value that many countries place on being face-to-face, on being together. And it really runs deeper than most of us know. And there's a lot we could unpack that we don't have time for. But it's one of the things that we are continually learning about was this importance of being present. And of course, we Americans value others and being with others in our lives. But this communal nature of so many cultures, including many African cultures, is something that we don't grasp quite to the same depth. There are places in our own culture and in the culture of the church that we emphasize togetherness. We talk about being a family. But I think we miss a certain nuance of Jesus' ministry because we don't have that same experience and level of understanding about presence, the presence that people of Jesus' day valued and continue to value today. So let me give you just a couple of examples of how this got lived out in Kenya. Now realize there are more than 40 ethnic groups in Kenya, and some of them have as many as 15 or 17 sub-tribes within one tribe. So it's not a cookie cutter, but they are very similar in this kind of collective communal bit. The first one was the phrase, visitors are a blessing. People celebrate having visitors into their homes. One of the biggest expressions of regret that people shared with us is that we had not visited their home. We had not been in their home. Now, there are only tens of thousands of Quakers in Kenya. There just aren't enough evening meals, right? But being in the homes of people was something we were privileged to do. And when we had visitors, and when Greg and Beth and Leslie and our kids and my folks visited us, we made sure everybody had an experience in somebody's home. And because it's just, there's just nothing that matches that. A second thing was wishing folks a Happy New Year. This is kind of a funny thing, but when you see people for the first time after the first New Year, it's just something you exchange. And I'm sure when Colin went, months later, you'd be greeted with Happy New Year. I've been greeted with Happy New Year in June, you know? But it's this recognition that we're together now. We're now face to face. This is the first time since the New Year, and this is an important greeting. Funerals are important. Folks join the family at the mortuary on the day before the funeral to accompany the body back home where the funeral and the burial will happen. On Thursdays and Fridays, mortuaries would be packed with hundreds of people waiting to follow the hearse to the home. I was even at the airport one time when a flight was coming in with someone's body from another part of the country, and scores of people with matching t-shirts with that person's face on them were all there ready to accompany the body to its final resting place. So that journey back home is followed by an all-night vigil where people stay there and a lengthy funeral service. And for days afterwards, people will make visits to the family home to offer condolences. Grief is a shared face-to-face thing. I thought about that when you were reading this morning, that about the God's Spirit being showing up in one another in those times. When we were leaving, most people wanted to say, thank you for coming here and being with us. That was the thing they seemed most grateful for. Though there was a man at our church, our local church, that did mention that he liked when I preached because he often learned something and my sermons were short in comparison. So that was good. A person's family and community is crucial. You commonly ask a person, especially in the city, is this where you're from or just where you stay? And even if they were the second generation to be born in Nairobi, they would say, this is just where I stay because this is not where the family home is. The rootedness of that tribe and clan was just so valuable. It was not uncommon to get to know store clerks and the newspaper guy and the gas station attendant and all the people we had regular connections with. If I'd not been to the store in a while, a clerk might comment that I had been lost. That was a common term. And as you can imagine, COVID was a real blow to this. This made life so incredibly hard. Some on some very practical level, some on a deep emotional spiritual level, because people were kept from one another in many ways for their own safety, but it was just so hard to do this. Very few congregations had technology, and technology didn't scratch the itch either. And so those are just some ways that being with one another showed up for us on a daily basis.
As we've been reflecting on incarnational ministry and what does a ministry of presence look like, there were things about our job that were concrete and things we actually did. I could check it off on a list. I did something. I like lists, and I like checking things off, and I like doing things. But there were so many more things that couldn't be put on a list in any way. And so it's probably even appropriate that in, you know, what might be like our last time to share with North Valley about our ministry in Kenya, like that we don't have a slideshow or a report of projects that we finished or things that we accomplished or anything like that. Because I think probably the more important things can't really go on a slideshow. So we're still processing that. I think we will be for a long time. But shortly after we moved to Kenya, while everything was still fresh and completely overwhelming, someone told me, another expat said, Kenya will break your heart. And then just stopped for a minute. And I said, but if instead of protecting your heart from that pain, if you let it break wide open, Kenya will also plant something there that looks like love, and it'll grow, and it'll change you. And that person was right. And I think that's probably true for all of our lives everywhere. But prior to living in Kenya, we had both traveled fairly extensively, but it didn't take us long to experience what we already knew intellectually, that living is different from visiting. And in the back of your mind, no matter how challenging a visit is, you get to go home at some point and process that challenging visit. But when you choose to live somewhere, part of that choice is staying and dealing and hopefully not protecting yourself from experiencing. As Sean mentioned, a lot of our ministry was about showing up and being present and reminding people that they belong and sharing their stories with other people. But honestly, I would rather do something and fix something than just be something with people. And when I started to struggle with the day in, day out feeling of feeling helpless in the face of constant situations that needed more justice and more mercy and definitely more humility than I knew how to access, our supervisor wisely reminded me that part of a ministry of presence is bearing witness to people's lives and stories and experiences, and then to share those stories in a respectful way with others. So I had to ask myself over and over again, am I willing to sit with the discomfort of situations that I'm powerless to change? And give dignity to each person's life and story by just being there, even by listening and by sharing that story. Also, was I willing to receive the sacrificial hospitality of so many when I had nothing physically to give in return? And those were questions that we just had to keep dealing with on a pretty daily basis. I wish maybe I had asked myself some of those same questions before I lived in Kenya, even about my life here in Newburgh. And I think I have a different and maybe, yeah, a different way to look at whatever comes next for me, wherever I am, and what I do or don't have to offer. In the face of wanting to accomplish things, and be able to check off boxes and lists and things like that, it's easy. It has been easy for us at the end of this physical experience of living in Kenya to evaluate some of that, of wondering of, were we successful, or were we faithful, or were we, you know, did we accomplish anything? The week before we left, our co-workers in our office had a small get together with us, and one of them said at the beginning of a sharing time, he said, "You know, our culture is different than yours, and when you came, we told you welcome, and we were happy you were here, and we may or may not have said anything else like that or thanked you while you were here. We don't say things like, good job, thank you for doing that, and I'm glad you were, you know, that kind of that kind of thing, maybe that you're used to, but it doesn't make our words or our appreciation any less true." And one of the words of appreciation that someone shared was basically along the lines of, thank you for being willing to leave at your stage of life when maybe you're used to feeling competent or professional or knowing how to do things. And thank you for being willing to leave the comfort of that and to start over and not know how to do anything. Which they saw every day, that we didn't know how to do anything. Like, they practically had to, yeah, make sure, yeah. Anyway, that it was pretty obvious. We didn't know how to do anything, and that we had to start over with that all together. And he thanked us for being willing to, to deal with the discomfort and what's required of starting over. But he said, and mostly just thank you for being willing to do that and to be here. And even if you can't see, he was trying to acknowledge, even if you can't check off the things that you finished or that you wanted to say you accomplished, that being here made a difference. And we might never know all the exact ways, but we have plenty to think about and to process on that level. So I think sometimes I'm better at starting what I'm going to say than finishing out how to end what I'm going to say. So hopefully instead of rambling, I am going to finish, and we're going to enter into some time of open worship, and we have some queries that we want to share with you if those are helpful. And again, thank you for all the ways that you have loved us and prayed for us and supported us in this journey. So.